Mary Cassian says when it comes to their relationship with men, women need firm hedges before temptation comes. Otherwise, it will be hard to make wise decisions.
There's an erosion that takes place and a chipping away at those boundaries, and those boundaries get pushed to different levels and different places, and you cross more and more boundaries until every boundary is crossed.
This is Revive Our Hearts with Nancy Lee DeMoss for Thursday, August 26th.
I'm wishing we had time to talk in greater length about each chapter in the book we've been discussing recently, Girls Gone Wise in a World Gone Wild. Mary Cassian is the author. She's a wife. She's a mom of three young adult sons. And we've had the privilege of ministering together in True Woman conferences and in other settings. She's been a blogger at truewoman.com. She's a friend. She's a partner in ministry. And Mary, thank you for writing this book and for being with us in this series to unpack just at a surface level some of the treasures that are in this wonderful book you've written. I thank you so much for it.
I've been so glad to be with you.
And it's been hard for us to pick which chapters to talk about because each one paints for us a contrast between a wise woman and a wild woman. And the portrait of the wild woman we've been looking at is found in mostly in Proverbs chapter 7, this seductive woman. She's a young married woman. She's a church woman, but she sets out to bring down and successfully does snare this simple young man who's caught in her trap, and the scripture says her ways lead to death. And the way of the wild woman can seem so liberated and so glamorous on the front side, but the point comes when you realize that it is a deadly and dangerous way to live. And so we've been looking at some of those points, but also the contrast. What does a wise woman look like? And the contrast we want to talk about today is this issue of setting boundaries. The woman in Proverbs 7 has a problem along that line. She really doesn't set necessary boundaries, does she?
She really does have a problem with boundaries. The story says that she's out in the twilight, in the evening. She grabs the young man and kisses him. She violates the sort of the physical boundary there. She violates some intimacy boundaries. She's telling him, oh, my husband is gone. And so she violates a lot of boundaries. And violating boundaries leads to being entrapped in sin. Now, the boundaries themselves are not necessarily boundaries that you would find in Scripture. They're just boundaries of wisdom that we establish in our lives to keep us from going towards sinful behavior.
Some people have called those hedges, and mm-hmm. I like that term. My mother lives in an area in Florida where the properties are bounded by hedges, and the hedges define who owns which property. And you can't easily get over those hedges into somebody. They're like big, tall, huge, wide hedges. And it's not easy for people who are violating your privacy to get past those hedges. And when it comes to our relationships as women with men, there are some just wisdom ways of thinking and living. And you and I have both seen the heartache and the heartbreak and the devastation when women don't put those hedges, those boundaries in place, and they end up becoming so much more vulnerable to sinning and to being sinned against.
That's right. They aren't kept in a safe place. That's what the boundaries do. They really define areas of safety. And when we violate those boundaries, we become much more vulnerable. And I've seen that in so many women that they think, oh, it's not a big deal that I meet this guy for lunch. I'm not sinning. Or it's not a big deal that I'm telling him how hurt I'm feeling in my relationship with my husband. That's not sin. Or I'm just talking on the phone with him, or I'm just sending him an email. And they violate all sorts of boundaries. And then it's one small compromise after another, more and more compromises, until finally they find themselves in an impossible situation, and in a situation where they never intended to go there. But because they violated their boundaries, they ended up in a place where they were either vulnerable to be sinned against or vulnerable in initiating sinful behavior.
I've often counseled younger people, stay out of situations, places, and circumstances where the natural thing would be to do something wrong. So we take this woman out at night. What's the big thing about her being out at the twilight, at the evening, in the dark night? Well, it's not daylight. There's no accountability. There's no protection for her.
There's no protection. There's no accountability. Things are hidden. She's probably beyond her time of when she should be going to sleep. And sometimes when you're tired, you're more vulnerable. When you are out late at night, when you're out alone, she didn't go out with a girlfriend. She didn't take a girlfriend with her when she went out. She went out by herself to meet with this young man. She was a married young woman, and yet she was meeting with a man that she was not married to. And so she violated all sorts of hedges and boundaries that she ought to have had, boundaries that would have kept her safe had she paid attention to those boundaries.
And I'm thinking how many stories I have heard over the years of women who have come to us after they've already violated the boundaries, and now their lives are in shambles. I'm thinking of a woman who came to me years ago and shared how she had been giving one of her pastors haircuts and massages, and then was shocked when at some point he declared that he had strong feelings for her. And how did this happen? How did they end up in this, what became an illicit attraction and, as I recall, relationship? Well, she violated some boundaries, some hedges. She got herself foolishly into a situation where it was natural for him and natural for her to sin.
Or even the situation of coworkers. I have heard women, there was a woman who told me, you know, we were just working on a project together. Well, that involved a lot of lunches. They had lunches together. And then when they were both sent out of town on a business trip, they decided, well, let's get together here. We'll just watch a movie together. And it just progressed. And all of a sudden she found herself in a relationship with a married man and had never intended to go there. But because she didn't have very clear hedges, ended up going down that road.
I know when I've talked in the past about hedges and boundaries on this program, invariably we'll get emails from listeners saying, be more specific. What are some of your hedges? What are some of your boundaries? And I've always been hesitant to do that because I don't want to say that the hedges that I've put in place in my life are exactly in every detail what someone else should put into their life. But I have found that women have been helped as I've been willing to share some of the practical hedges that I put into my life. I'm a single woman. Mary, you're a married woman. And so let's just, for the sake of mentoring and encouraging women who are listening and may not have been mothered, may not have been counseled in some of these practical areas, start with you as a married woman. You love Brent. You've been married 30 years now. You want to protect your marriage. You want to guard your own heart. So what are some of the practical ways that you set out to establish hedges and boundaries to protect that relationship?
One of the practical ways is what I call a seclusion hedge, and that is to ensure that I interact with men that I am not married to, men who are other than Brent, in a public venue and not in a private venue, so that I avoid places that are secluded. And so if I'm meeting with someone, a colleague, it will be in a room where others can watch, or that has glass doors or glass windows, or you leave the door open. I avoid being in secluded, private, isolated places with men that I'm not married to.
I know as we practice that within our ministry, I don't meet in a room alone with a man without the door being ajar or windows in the room. And some people see that kind of thing and they think, that seems so extreme. That seems obsessive. And yet I'm thinking, you know, if you don't violate that seclusion principle, you're unlikely to end up in an emotionally or physically adulterous relationship. People probably never have an affair with someone that they've never been alone with in a private setting. So you can call it obsessive, but I so value the marriages of my colleagues, the men that serve in our ministry, the men that I work with. I'm thinking, you know, it's worth it for them and for me, for their marriages, for my life, to put some of those boundaries up that, you know, is this a biblical mandate to keep the door open? I'm not going to call it that, but I think there's a lot of wisdom in it.
I think there is a lot of wisdom in it. Proverbs tells us that the wise person foresees danger and takes precautions. And
prudent.
And is very, very prudent, right? And it's just a smart thing to do. And I appreciate when Brent does that for me. I know that he's not going to be having meetings off somewhere with a woman alone, and he knows that I will honor him in the same way. And it's just a way of respecting my marriage, and it's a way of respecting the marriages of other people as well.
I think another way of putting up appropriate hedges and boundaries is in the whole area of communication. And this is something that I've watched just take down a lot of women and a lot of marriages. The whole email, Facebook, communication, how can we think about that in a wise way rather than a wild way?
Well, I think that we need to be careful with where we go in our communication. If I communicate with someone other than Brent, another man, I try to avoid really personal topics. I can confide in girlfriends, but I can't confide in other men if I'm having a heartache or if I'm having something very personal going on in my life or if I'm having a struggle in my marriage. It's just inappropriate for me to be sharing personal information. And if I do share personal information, I need to be very cautious to share that information in a way that my husband is aware that I'm sharing it or that he is included in it. So I would, if I'm saying something personal, oh, I really enjoyed church this weekend, I might type something like, my husband and I really enjoyed, you know, being at church this weekend. Or I would use we phrases and always make sure to make it very clear that I am married and I'm committed to my marriage and I am not just an I am a we in terms of being a couple. And that just draws that boundary very, very clearly right up front that this is a place, this is a line that is not getting crossed.
I know some couples who have practically handled that in relation to their Facebook account. They don't have their own individual Facebook accounts. Mm-hmm. They have a Facebook account, if they're going to do it at all, together. And it has both their names on it. So when you're communicating with one, you realize the other partner has access to that, is seeing that material. And I think that helps keep away from the private or secret communication that could become a time bomb waiting to go off.
It really could become. And I appreciate Brent often will CC me on an email if he's communicating with the woman and needs to set something up or tell her something. If it's just purely business, he doesn't always do that. But if there's anything of a private or a personal nature, he'll CC me on it or he will tell me about it. And I do the same for him. And that just really honors, it nails down those hedges and boundaries, and it honors our marriage. It keeps us safe.
I don't want to belabor the point too much, but I think as much as we have seen of emotional adultery, sometimes leading to physical adultery, but illicit relationships being fueled through email, through Facebook, through instant messaging, through various social media, this is, you know, these things can be great blessings if they're used in a wise way. But we're seeing just monumental collapse of trust and covenant and breaches of fidelity and faithfulness through these means. I've talked recently with a couple. The man is in full-time Christian ministry, and his wife has become addicted to Facebook and through means of Facebook has reconnected with an old sweetheart who she's now carrying on an emotional affair with, and it is devastating her marriage. I assume it's devastating his as well. I don't know that situation. But this is something that is rampant, even among believers. And nobody wakes up in the morning and says, I think I'm going to have an affair. They first breach smaller individual single hedges or boundaries and then find that leading to another, leading to another, leading to another larger compromise. And it's like Proverbs says, the end leads to death.
It does lead to death. And you and I have both seen it numerous times where just a little compromise, because it's not sin to send an email, and it's not sin to share a little bit, and it's not sin to share a little bit more, but there's an erosion that takes place and a chipping away at those boundaries, and those boundaries get pushed to different levels and different places, and you cross more and more boundaries until every boundary is crossed, emotionally, if not physically. And so to protect ourselves, to keep ourselves safe, to keep ourselves pure, to honor our marriages and the marriages of those around us, we do need to establish those types of boundaries.
And as the proverb says so descriptively in chapter 6, verse 27, can a man carry fire next to his chest and his clothes not be burned? Or can one walk on hot coals and his feet not be scorched? And even as we're talking, Mary, I have no doubt that there are some listening to us today who are playing with fire right now. It's a relationship at work with a colleague. It's flirtation going on. It's words being exchanged, looks being exchanged. They're playing with fire. And let me just say, you're kidding yourself if you think you can do that and ultimately not get burned. And so what do? You stop. And I just want to say to you, if you are playing with fire in an emotionally tempting or tantalizing way, if you're being a wild woman as it relates to the issue of boundaries, God has let you hear this program today so that you can be warned and so you can be wise. The wise woman will say, you know, this may hurt, this may be hard, but by God's grace, and for the sake of Christ, and for the sake of the covenant of my marriage or this other person's marriage, I'm going to repent. I'm not going to continue with this. I'm going to put it away and come back within those appropriate boundaries for my life.
And that's a difficult thing to do. It's difficult once those boundaries have been transgressed to pull back and to say, you know what, I need to reestablish some boundaries. But the best thing, I believe, is to come clean on it and to confess it and to repent of it and to reestablish those boundaries and say, you know, I cannot do this anymore. I'm going to take you off as a Facebook friend, or I am going to...
Or I'm going to get off Facebook.
I'm getting off Facebook. I'm just going to stop. I'm not going to send any more text messages. I'm going to block receiving them. This is going the wrong direction, and I am not honoring my marriage, and I want to honor my marriage, and I want to honor the Lord Jesus Christ with my behavior.
In my own quiet time this morning, I was in the Gospel of Mark, and just reading that passage where Jesus says, if your eye or your hand causes you to sin, then take drastic measures to get rid of whatever it is that would be tempting you, that would be causing you to sin. And what Jesus is saying is, the point isn't cut off your hand or pluck out your eye. The point is, God takes sin seriously. And as followers of Christ, we need to take sin seriously and be willing to distance ourselves from anything that might put us in the pathway to making sinful or foolish choices.
There are so many different hedges that we could begin to address. And hedges change whether you're married or single. There are things that are appropriate, inappropriate to do. But it's very good exercise to actually sit down and think about what your hedges are. And if you're in a working relationship, then perhaps you need to put in a hedge into your life that says, you know what, I am not going to meet with a man or dine, have lunch with a man, or travel alone with a man other than my husband. It's just not going to happen. And where you perhaps have to put in a request to your boss or to your company to request that, or to request that your hotel rooms are on different floors. And you might say that this is all being obsessive, but I have seen it so many times where it just starts off so innocently and just goes down the wrong path because those hedges have been ignored or there hasn't been a hedge in place.
I like to think of these boundaries as guardrails. And I have had a lot of fun in the past doing some jeeping in the mountains of Colorado. And you know those windy hairpin turns, those very narrow roads, and you look down and there's like a million miles down to the valley below. And if you go over, you're dead, you know? And so there are guardrails. Mm-hmm. At least if you're going to feel safe, there are guardrails. Where there are no guardrails, you're going to be hugging the inner edge of that road and trying like crazy not to drive off. But where there are guardrails, You can feel safe. You can feel protected. You know that they're there not to restrict you, but to save your life. And I view those boundaries as gifts, as protection, as freeing me up. And I've seen this in the relationships that I have with the men that I serve with in our ministry, where those boundaries are in place, where I'm honoring those men and their marriages, and where I'm seeking to please the Lord in my choices. There's a freedom to enjoy those friends, to serve with them, to have healthy relationships, not only with those men, but with their wives, to be protected because of being willing to say yes to some of those boundaries. So on the front side, it can seem a bit restrictive, and to some it seems maybe even ludicrous. But when you take the long view, you see there really is blessing and benefit to establishing those boundaries. And Mary, one of the things I really like that you've done in this chapter on boundaries in your book on Girls Gone Wise is you've given us some real practical illustrations and types of hedges with some lists that say, here's some things you may want to consider. Then what you do is challenge us to come up with our own list, to say, here are the things that I want to practice based on this season of my life. And you've even provided a personal boundary worksheet, which we're making available on our website in PDF form, so you can print it out. You can come up with your own boundaries. I'm just saying, don't be without the boundaries. Don't be without the hedges, because you want to be able to glorify God as a wise woman. And when you put those safeguards in place, those boundaries, those hedges, you're making choices that will not only benefit you now, but down the road for years to come. And it brings me to the end of Proverbs chapter 7 that we've been looking at in this series, where this wise father says, O sons, listen to me, and be attentive to the words of my mouth. Let not your heart turn aside to the ways of this foolish woman. Do not stray into her paths. For many a victim has she laid low, and all her slain are a mighty throng. And that passage says to me, you know, any woman can be used to be the downfall of many men. Don't think it can't happen to you. I can't afford to think it can't happen to me. I could be an instrument of the downfall of the marriages of the men around me, and so can you. And by God's grace, we don't want to be those wild women. We want to be wise women who build up the men around us, who encourage them and motivate them to be holy and wise men. And we want our lives in that way to bring glory to God. There's lots more in this book, Girls Gone Wise, that we haven't been able to address in this series. And Mary, thank you so much for the time you have been with us. And I'm hoping that in the days ahead, we can come back and talk perhaps in further detail about some of these characteristics of a girl gone wise in a world gone wild.
Thanks so much, Nancy. It was good to be with you.
Nancy Lee DeMoss and Mary Cassian are wrapping up their interview on the book Girls Gone Wise, but this doesn't have to be the end of the topic. Continue learning how to incorporate biblical wisdom into every part of your life. We'll send you a copy of Mary's book when you donate any amount to Revive Our Hearts. We'll also include the CD set of this series. The conversation between Nancy and Mary will go with you. Listen and be reminded of all you've learned about being a wise woman. Both the book and the CD series will help you continue to grow in wisdom as it relates to your heart, habits, appearance, boundaries, and possessions. Just call us with your donation of any size and ask for Girls Gone Wise in a World Gone Wild. Here's the number, 1-800-569-5959. That's 1-800-569-5959. Or you can donate online and we'll send the book. The address is reviveourhearts.com. That's also where you'll find information on seeing Mary and Nancy in person. They'll both speak at the two True Woman conferences this fall. Get more details and join us in Indianapolis or Fort Worth soon. Again, the web address is reviveourhearts.com. Well, tomorrow Nancy addresses a variety of practical questions. Women ask questions on purity, singleness, and fear. That's tomorrow on Revive Our Hearts. Revive Our Hearts is an outreach of Life Action Ministries.